Oh, is it Art Summerfield?
Art Sommerfeld retired in 1989.
Was going to say, that name does not ring a bell to me, but he's,
Yeah,
yeah.
he actually he died about a year or two away.
Well, but he's an Art Summerfield has just logged in.
Well, maybe it's okay. Because I'm thinking of Warren Sommerfeld.
I was going to say there was a Warren. I remember a
Yeah, all
Warren.
right, so I'm at the wrong Sommerfeld.
Alex, do we have a new official DOT representative? I don't hear you. I think I saw a nod.
Yes, Art Summerfield is going to be
Oh, there we go. That
his new
mystery solved
replacement.
then.
I'm sorry, I didn't have my mic on.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm talking and I'm muted, double muted. So yeah, I will be coming to this until we hire a new planning manager here at the OT.
Okay. So I think that makes the quorum, right?
Yes, we do have quorum.
All right. So it is 6:32. Their meeting is being recorded. Liz is joining us now. I just admitted her. So I will call the meeting for October 2nd to order. I don't see, other than Art, welcome Art. I don't think we have any other new members. So I will move on to item two, approval of September 4th meeting minutes. Somebody like to make a motion?
Williams will move approval.
Field will second.
All right. And Alder Field, I see your hand up.
To second. Yep.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Any discussion of the minutes? If not, we're ready for vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? That motion passes. Item three is communications. Alex.
I do not have any to share for
Okay.
tonight.
I will simply say that depending on how long the meeting runs, maybe at the end under announcements, we can discuss the week without driving and our experiences with it
Yeah.
under announcements if it doesn't get too late. So you can start thinking about that. Item four, public comment for items not on the agenda and not pertaining to the public hearing. Is there anyone present who wishes to speak? Seeing none, we'll move on to item five, which is the public hearing on amendment to the 2024-2028 Transportation Improvement Program to add a new federally funded charging and fueling infrastructure project. So at this time, I will open the public hearing and ask if there's anyone present who wishes to speak or if we've received any communications.
Mark, I will note that Kathy is here from Dane County. She
Okay.
registered to be available to speak.
Excellent.
There she
Welcome,
is.
We also received one comment in support of the amendment.
Yep. And that's the one that is, well, no, this is just the letter. This one from Courtney. Is that the one you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay, Courtney Lindell. Lindell. Speaking or writing in support. Thank you, David, for pointing that out. I had seen that in the packet and forgot to mention it. So that is our one registrant, and Kathy, you're available if there's questions. Anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. We'll move on to item six, which is MPO Resolution 2024, number 16, approving amendment number seven to the aforementioned TIP. David, are you taking this? Yep.
Yes, I'll be presenting this one. So, this amendment adds a $16.8 million charging and fueling infrastructure project to the TIP. The project is sponsored by Dane County, and the funding is from USDOT's Charging and Fueling Infrastructure Grant. And I should mention this is a discretionary grant provided by the USDOT. Funding from the grant will enable Dane County to install up to 92 level two and level three fast charging EV stations, which would provide a total of 368 publicly accessible ports. And this will be a 3-year project. Planning and design will begin this fall. Locations will be determined during the planning process, but there will be public opportunities to provide input on station locations. As you just mentioned, we have received one comment in support of the project, and that comment is included in your packets. If you do wish to learn more about the project as it progresses, and also be notified of public participation meetings, et cetera, you can sign up at the Dane County Office of Energy and Climate Change for their newsletter. And Kathy Kuntz is here should you have any questions. And staff is recommending approval.
Thank you, David. Does anybody have any questions? Doug?
Yeah, can you give us some idea of where the locations might be or what kind of factors you would look at in picking those?
Yeah, definitely. So one of the foundational documents when we were doing this grant is the MPO's EV charging infrastructure analysis that Bill Holloway did last year. So that's like a big piece of this. Under the DOT program, the three priorities we're looking to address, the first is multifamily neighborhoods. So we're aiming to do the charging that the private market isn't necessarily going to do. And so if you think about like older neighborhoods with a lot of rental housing, people don't have access to their own garages to charge EVs. How do we provide affordable charging in those neighborhoods? That's the first piece. The second piece is rural areas of the county. And then the third piece is multimodal areas. You know, with the BRT starting, we think there are some potential opportunities to have charging available at the endpoints of some of our transit systems as a way to encourage more multimodal transportation. So those are the three priorities. The way we will do this is we will have a leadership team that includes utilities and local governments and some community-based organizations. And we're going to rely on that MPO analysis and then really go to neighborhoods and have conversations about where does it make sense that charging infrastructure happen in this area where we can see there's a gap kind of thing and figure out those partnerships and then move forward.
Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Any other questions for Kathy or David? Seeing none, would someone, I don't think we have a motion yet for the item six, resolution 16.
Esser will move approval.
Wood will second.
Motion by Esser, seconded by Wood. Any discussion regarding the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Motion passes. Thanks, Kathy, for joining us. And David, thank you for that too. Items 7 is resolution number 17, adopting the annual Public Transit Agency Safety Plan Performance Measure Targets. I'm guessing this is Ben.
You guessed correctly. I'm just going to pull up share your packet page here. Every year, we have to adopt performance measure targets for both the transit asset management and public transportation agency safety plan targets. And we can either adopt the state's metros or come up with our own. And we have consistently for many years adopted the targets that are set by Metro because they know their own operations better than anyone else. And so this resolution would adopt the public transit agency safety performance targets that are described in the July 29th Metro memo regarding those targets in their annual review. Quite often, neither the TAM nor the PTASP targets are available and able to adopt concurrently with the TIP. This year, we got these a little bit earlier than usual, and so we were able to do this concurrently with the TIP, and these will be a part of the TIP, but we adopt them through a separate resolution, or rather you as the policy board adopt through a separate resolution. And staff does recommend approval of these. We'll just kind of scroll down here a little bit to the 2023 targets versus the actual performance. And as they note in the memo, they did exceed the safety event total for the bus transit actual, although they had zero safety events in paratransit. Part of that, they believe, has to do with, and this isn't in the memo, but their definition of safety events, they kind of realized wasn't in line with the FTA's definition. And so when they revised that, then all of a sudden things weren't quite where they thought they were. But they didn't want to revise the targets yet. They want to see another year's worth of data and actually understanding better what the FTA is looking at there before they suggest revising that safety event total. Otherwise, they've been meeting their targets pretty well. And so, as I said, staff recommends adopting these as proposed by Metro. Happy to take any questions.
Any questions for Ben?
I should also note that there are several, I think, seven new safety performance targets that were also established in the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. However, they are required by that law to be based on 3 years of rolling data. And that, since that information has not been, it wasn't collected prior to 2023, we can't set those targets until after there are 3 years of data. And so those will be coming down the pike in the future, but lacking the 3 years of data to base the targets on, they're not included in this year's update.
Fair enough. If there are no questions, we have a resolution that's in our packet. And I've misplaced my packet for a second here. I may have just closed my PDFs, darn it. Here we go. All right, resolution 17, 17.
Anybody? Esser will make a motion to approve the resolution.
Thank you, Mayor Esser. Would someone like to second?
I'll second.
All right. We have a second by Doug Wood, just ahead of Tom Lynch.
Give it to Tom.
All right.
Maybe I shouldn't be seconding a Metro thing anyhow.
Right. All right, Doug, you get the second. Mayor Esser made the motion. Any further, any discussion? I don't see any hands up. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. I just am doing a quick quorum check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 7, 8. Okay, good. We do have I think that's the policy for Metro 2. I always forget what this is. Middleton's policy is you have to have your camera on to participate. I think that's our policy too, isn't it, Alex?
Notably when you're speaking. So speaking, voting, but it doesn't have to be on all the time. That is the city of Madison's policy.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the reminder.
You can save some bandwidth, but yeah, when you're speaking or voting.
Okay. So if we were to have only seven faces visible, but two other members logged in without their cameras on, that would still be a quorum, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for that. Item 8 is resolution 18, adopting the 2025 through 2029 Transportation Improvement Program. Who is running with this one?
David.
All right. Well,
I'm sorry, David.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
I can do it.
Okay, that's what
David, you're muted.
I see TIP and I think of David Canning, so I apologize. So you may recall this from before. This is making changes to our public participation policy and shorten the period from 30 days to 15 days, but it still allows the opportunity to allow it to be longer than that if there's a situation in which that that is necessary. And I don't want to just sit here and read to you exactly what's in our packet. So if you have questions, let
David,
me know.
Yep, and David has his hand up. Is that
intentional? Yes.
Go ahead, David.
I believe we are going out of order on the agenda, which is fine if you wish to do that. But I thought we were going to do the...
I apologize, and I announced number 8, so I apologize. Well, I don't think it matters, does it? Let's just dispense with this since I've called it. Sure. That's what happened when I lost my screen. Sorry about that.
Of course.
Okay. Well, that at least, Mark, makes me feel better because
That was my mistake.
A cognitive incident there. I am scrolling down to my little sheet here. And I can share, well, I won't share my screen because we've seen it before. But basically, federal regulations require that we have, you know, public participation rules as part of our transportation improvement program. And I'm trying to think, I'm reading this for the most important part of it. It was last adopted back in 2021. And this is talking about what we wanted to change. What needed attention was the public notice requirement for major changes to the TIP. And it used to be 30 days, or it is 30 days, and we're proposing to change that to 15 days. And that is for obvious reasons in the event as we have things come up. And the last thing that some people want to hear is one more thing that you have to wait another 30 days for, especially when we only have our meetings on a monthly basis. So that's shortening it to 15 days, which happens to be the most common time period that other MPOs use for their TIPs. And I'm trying to identify in there another change. We just sort of made some changes as long as we were in there to sort of update things. We had talk about meeting virtually because of the pandemic and so on and so forth. But now virtual meetings since that time have shifted to being virtual. And so we noted that as well. And the other thing that we changed was just some details about the list of people that we send, just updates to the list of people that get notified or the groups of people that get notified. So basically, in summary, is just to make things a little more efficient, and it's very much in keeping with common practice for MPOs for TIPs. And we recommend approval.
Okay. Any questions for our esteemed staff? If not, the resolution before us is for item 8, number 18. Taken out of order. Would someone like to make a motion?
Andre moves approval.
Field right. Seconds.
Field seconds. Okay, Andre and Field. Seeing and hearing no further discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Motion passes. Going back to item 7, number 17. Adopting the annual Public Transit Agency Safety Plan Performance Measure Targets.
I think we're on number 8.
What am I doing wrong?
We're on item number 8, which is resolution number 18, adopting the 2025 to 2029 TIP.
But, all right. So I apologize for mistakes that I am making, apparently. I thought we had just concluded that I had gone out of order, and then we had moved up to item.
We skipped down to item 9. We were.
Oh, that's right. You were talking about the public, but I don't think I ever said item 9. All right. I apologize. I'm about ready to turn this over to Doug. We talked about the performance measures. That was Ben. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow we got to 9. So now we're on 8. Okay, number 18, yes. Resolution number 18, 2025-2029 TIP. All right. Or
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
So I'm going to share my screen.
Wow.
Okay. So the cover sheet for this item, item number A, provides a summary of all iterations that have been made to the SCBG urban priority projects since August. In addition, staff has prepared an addition change sheet listed before you that shows all of the changes that have been made to the draft TIP since it was posted to the MPO website in mid-August. And that sheet is dated September 26th and is included in your packet. But a few additional changes have been made since then. And those changes affect 4 ped bike projects, 1 roadway project, and 1 transit project. And are all noted in this document before you now that is dated October 2nd. So I'm just going to briefly go over them so that when you make a motion, you'll understand the changes that have been made to the document that was in your packet. So the first change pertains to the City of Verona's RRFB project. Essentially, that project is no longer federally funded. The City of Verona will be providing local funding for that project. The second change relates to the North Street project, the North Street corridor path project, I should say, in DeForest. That was originally planned for 2025. And they were to receive TAP funding, but some deadlines were not met, unfortunately. And so that project will no longer be federally funded this year. They will seek federal carbon reduction program funding in 2025. The third one is the Dane County Safe Routes to School project. That project is continuing in 2025. The funding was moved from 2025 to 2024, but the actual schedule for implementation is not changing. The last ped bike project is actually located outside of our planning area, but it's a noteworthy one. It's the Walking Iron Trail in Northwest Dane County. That's was recently selected to receive $1 million in TAP funding. That's a $10 million project, total cost. The John Olin Drive project, the northern limits have changed. Rather than North Shore Drive, the northern limit is now Broome Street. And then lastly, a regional transit planning project is being added by Madison, and they will seek statewide transit planning funding next year. So that concludes all of the changes that are in the addition change sheet. The TCC did recommend approval of the draft TIP at their meeting last week, and staff is also recommending approval.
Thank you. And that Walking Iron Trail is the one that's up by Sauk, right? By Sauk City?
Yes.
And Tomato. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. Yep. That also, there's an associated bridge with that as well.
Right.
That will cross the river.
Hence the dollar amount.
Yep.
Any questions for David? Quiet group tonight. I confused everybody. No questions? In that case, the resolution before us is number 18-2025-2029
TIP. Esther will move approval.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Seconds.
And that reflects the changes that we discussed here. Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing and hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? That motion passes. Item 10. I think I'm in the same place now. Resolution 20, approving the 2020 urban area and metropolitan area boundaries for the Madison urban area of Dane County.
Right, you're back, Mark. Covered.
I've been doing so many non-car trips. That's why.
As you may remember, long ago, we were talking about MPO boundaries that need to be updated as a result of the 2020 census. So here we are in 2024. We're getting it done. The first thing that we did and the board approved back in February was our urban area boundary, which is associated with defining different types of funding. The planning area boundary is something that needed to be updated as well. And it also impacts funding, but not necessarily in the way that people may think. I think this is where sometimes things get confusing. The really only tangible thing is that the difference is that projects that fall in our planning area need to be listed in our TIP. So as we expand that planning area boundary in a way, in whatever way we think makes sense, which we reviewed sort of when we started this project long ago, and then with our communities as we visited with them to discuss the planning area boundary, you know, that was always a question, a recurring thing. Part of that conversation involved staff's recommendation to reach out to Mount Horeb, the village of Mount Horeb. The direction we were given was to reach out to them and see how they felt about that. And we did that, and it took them a while to see how they felt about it. So we made a few visits, Plan Commission. There was a great deal of support there, especially their interest in some of, you know, the sorts of planning services and things that other communities are working on, including the sort of safe streets for all, bike ped design concerns at their downtown and enhancements and so on and so forth. What took a little bit longer was for the village board to take it up and approve it, which happened, I believe, in August, no, late July. So the two key requirements, another requirement when you put the planning area together is to make sure that it is, no smaller than the urban area boundary. And that urban area boundary, and I should share my screen. I think that would probably be really helpful.
I ask you that. I looked it up. Yeah. Online.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I had my screen.
It's there. I don't see it happening for me. Let me try it again. Oh.
I had to rotate it in the packet, so.
Yeah. No, it's. Let me get that up there first. I have latent discombobulation from past. So can you see that now?
We see the text, yeah, for this.
Okay, so here's the sheet. This has a lot of the nitty gritty sort of details of how the program works. There's the resolution that we're recommending it. And here is our map, which unfortunately is, I'm going to scroll down to this one.
Right.
This one above it is the one that we're going to submit to DOT because it just shows the two boundaries straight up. They don't want to see all this crosshatchy stuff. But I wanted to share the crosshatchy stuff with you because it shows the areas that we are expanding. So it's a little small here. Here's the blue line, which is the urban area boundary. Which, as you may recall, that is a boundary that is provided to us based on the 2020 census. The job there was, the MPOs are allowed to sort of smooth that out to make some corrections based on specific land uses, but for the most part needs to stay as is, as defined. The planning area we need to make sure is not smaller than that. So the example of that is up here. This is the town of This is the village of Windsor. And as you can see where my cursor is, the blue line, the urban area was right across here. And so we expanded the planning area out in a way that made sense, in a planning sense. And just for your knowledge, the boundary itself follows, as the rest of our planning area does, census blocks. So if you're wondering sometimes about the size, the other thing going on in this area is anticipated development that will be happening in that area, especially right here in DeForest. So that crosshatch area shows a change on that part of the county, sort of our northeastern portion. And this here is obviously the largest piece, which is drawing a line, following those census blocks. You know, we are kind of, you know, if it seems sort of large or blocky, it's because it is, because it, we want to be consistent in how we're defining the boundary. It goes out, it captures the village. And then, you know, as we all know, with this growth in this region and in sort of Verona, this seemed to be the best way to go about that. So this is our proposed planning area boundary. The city of Stoughton, although it's no longer in our urban area boundary, it's no longer in that. It remains in our planning area boundary. And that is the same case for Cross Plains, who is no longer in our urban area boundary, but it remains in our planning area boundary. And in the case of Cross Plains and the village of Mount Horeb, those communities, in fact, all of the communities have feel comfortable with these boundaries.
Good.
Yeah, a little bigger.
Okay.
Stop the share.
Any questions? Did you have anything else to add, Alex?
No.
No.
Hopefully it's pretty straightforward, but I'm happy to answer any questions or concerns people might have.
So does anybody have any questions or concerns, or would someone like to make a motion, which would be to adopt Resolution 20?
Field moves adoption of Resolution 20.
I'll second.
Motion by Field, second by Caravello. Seeing and hearing no other discussion, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? That motion passes. Item 11 is
okay. So item 11 comes after 10. Very good.
Staff report from CARPC. Yep.
I'm sorry, I did not prepare a cover sheet because the timing wasn't right to get that into the packet, but I do have an update from Jason Valerius, the director of CARPC. He says that the Madison Metropolitan Sewage District sought amendment of the Dane County Water Quality Plan to stop sending treated wastewater back to Verona. If some of you may be involved in this in some fashion, this might sound familiar, but anyways, to stop sending treated water back to Verona. This has been happening since the 90s to balance wastewater flows out of that watershed, but MMSD needs a solution to phosphorus limits in Badger Mill Creek. So the commission recommended denial of their application in August due to concerns about water quality and inadequate data, but DNR decided to approve it in September with conditions for continuing water quality monitoring. So that was, I know, some pretty time-consuming, controversial stuff that everyone needed to sort of work through. The next thing he's reporting is that the director is beginning outreach to the counties around Dane County that are not affiliated with an RPC. So that's Sauk, basically the donut, if you will. So that's Sauk, Columbia, Dodge, Jefferson, and Rock, both directly and through the Madison Region Economic Partnership, that's MADREP. You're familiar with them. We're offering their availability for planning services on a fee-for-service basis to help them meet their planning needs and reinforce connections across our wider region. For those of you who I'm sure you all are, but in case you just need a little refresher, it's kind of unusual for an RPC to be just one county. And over many, many years, there's been an effort for it to be more than one county, but our neighboring counties just didn't really want anything to do with Dane County. But things are changing, and this is an interesting and really, I think, good solution of expanding planning services to those counties who are a little skeptical, while at the same time sort of helping CARPC bring in revenue to run their organization. So that's really good to see. So CARPC is also a co-sponsor and co-coordinator of the Midwest Climate Summit, which is going to be held in Madison in 2025, April 30th through May 2nd. So they're starting planning for that, and the call for workshop proposals is now open. So if you have any ideas for that from your community or any particular groups you think would be interested, we have until October 25th to propose workshops. And just You can find a link to that on their website if you're interested. And my understanding is they really want them to be workshops, more like tours, hands-on things, not so much the sit in a conference room and watch a PowerPoint sort of thing. So, which is a good thing. CARPC staff are continuing work on efforts to more accurately map existing residential units countywide for purposes of tracking growth and progress towards the regional development framework goals, as well as improved data for use by others, including MPOs, transportation. You know, our MPOs need to estimate transportation demand, and household data is obviously really important to that. So we are working a little harder to collaborate on that. So that is the report from CARPC.
Excellent.
If you have questions, I might be able to answer them.
That's a pretty thorough report for not having something in the packet. Good job.
Yeah.
Any questions? If not, we'll move on to item 12, announcements and staff reports. You have a B and a C here.
Yeah, and a possibly a D and an E, but I don't know what happened to A, Mark.
It's under number six. It's under number six. We're just going to all have an off meeting. So,
yeah. So the first announcement that I wanted to mention is FHWA has something called a low carbon transportation materials grant opportunity. And Julia Pooler, who is with a climate action organization, as well as Maria Hart, have been reaching out to communities looking for potential projects. And they have in mind that MPOs are eligible to apply. We would be the organization that would very much make sense to do this. And so this could be, if this does indeed go forward, if there's enough interest from communities, mostly from their public works and engineers is where that interest is going to come from. We might have another regional application, sort of like we did for the Safe Streets for All. So the very basics of that is there are low carbon road building materials, so concrete, asphalt. So it can be used for actually paying for those materials or the difference in cost. If you cost out the difference, it will cover the distant difference in the cost. It is 100% federally funded. There's no match required. The other thing that the funding could be used for is all the communities that participate in this can go together in developing new processes, specs, things of that nature that will really have a more lasting impact going forward. And there was interest. We took this to they visited the technical committee, and there was actually some interest because we had the right group of people. So for instance, Sean from Middleton was interested, and some of the other engineers that were present kind of looked, you know, they turn and look at a manual and they really honestly like the idea of being able to update the manual, especially for this purpose and helping those communities achieve, you know, carbon reduction goals. The other announcement is the release of the draft 2024 to 2028 Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Plan for Dane County. So this is open for review and comment on our website. That is available. So that was a big undertaking, and that is very important for our transit providers and some of our other service providers. And then I don't know how much of an announcement this is, but I would like to say that I was pleasantly surprised by the helpful and kind voice I heard at a BRT station and thought, that's Liz. It is you, isn't it?
It is me. Yes. Thank you.
Well done.
Thanks.
And mind the gap.
Yes.
Well, and since you are making that announcement, I want to also give a shout out to all of the MPO staff that were out helping riders during the launch. Were you out there, Alex? Yes. A lot of your staff was out there and also helping with fast fare card distribution. So they've really been a big part of the BRT team. So we appreciate that a lot.
Thank you. And then Mark, you had.
Well, just on the same vein, being a Middleton resident, I am very pleased that our Route F is directly tied into the BRT via during the daytime anyway, we have the BRT buses. And not having been a transit rider much since I took a job a mile and a half from where I work, and not really on a bus route directly, I'm happy to say I've taken 10 trips with the BRT in the last 9 days. That includes round trips, including one today all the way over to Madison MATC on the east side, where I had a meeting. So, and so that's my segue, I guess. First of all, I've been very pleased with what I've been seeing. Obviously, there's been a few hiccups here and there, but that's to be expected when it's something this significant changes the transportation system in a region. I think I'll ask you to pass along a video I made separately from this. We don't have to, since it's not on the agenda, we're not going to get into this in any detail, but I studied the, I went with one of our ped bike transit committee members and looked at the bicycle and transit interface in Madison in a few locations, along Mineral Point Road and Seago, and put together a video. And then I just wanted to see how, if others were participating in the Week Without Driving. This is, we had a resolution about that at our last meeting. This is the week. And just want to see if anybody has made a trip that they normally would have made by car, if they've chosen to choose a different mode of transportation, what your impressions are. Anybody wish to share? It's harder for some people that, you know, if they're out, not on the transit system or in an urban, you know, failure, you're down in Stoughton, so getting to Madison by BRT is not an option. Alder Field.
Thank you. I think my reflection is going to be a little different than what you were, than how you framed it, because I primarily travel by transit in my day-to-day and have continued to this week. But I actually wanted to highlight a time where I was trying to think about how to make a certain trip by transit, and it wasn't very feasible. On Sunday, I went up to the northeast side to take a tour with Alder Sabrina Madison, who is offering to other Common Council members in Madison to showcase parts of her district that would benefit from investing in the Rindell Imagination Center around the Sandberg neighborhood, where there aren't a lot of public services in Madison. And we do have local serving transit lines that run up and down the east side here and around the Sandberg neighborhood. The service is infrequent on Sundays. And so as a traveler on a Sunday trying to think about how to make transit work, I couldn't pull it off. So I drove up there and we drove around the neighborhood. So that's one of the ways that this week is making me think about this experience. Otherwise, you know, buses today were great. Thanks.
Anybody else wish to share anything? Liz.
Yeah, I'll just kind of similar to Alderfield, just thinking about how different, you know, people are getting around the community. I do a lot of trip chaining. So I have two kids. I am dropping my daughter off at daycare every day. And so really putting the hat on of not just having options, but not having the option of a car has really, you know, made me think about those parents that don't have that access and what that means as part of whether it's a part of a transit trip or where you're choosing that daycare option. If you have that, really affects, you know, all those things, because not only is it one thing to take a different mode to work, but it's another thing to take a different mode or multiple modes when you have to make many stops along your way. So just kind of reflecting on that and how that affects people's ability to make those choices about work and childcare and where they live and the locations of all of those things.
Very true. Thank you. Tom?
And so I've gotten a few extra passes that I've loaded up. So I'm taking my friends out to restaurants on the line. So I have some West Side friends. I went over to their place and we ate at the Cafe Hollander. I have another set of friends on the West Side. We're going to eat at Vintage or whatever. And these are people that have just never been on the bus. You know what I mean? Like they said, well, how do you make this thing stop? Right? Everybody have to pull the cord. But, you know, it is, I'm just surprised at how quick it is. I think it's actually going quicker than it It should be, because the time is less. In fact, I was just at a Metro meeting today, and one of the supervisors said, yeah, I was trying to get someplace, along East Washington, along with the A line, and he was in one of the supervisor cars, and the bus beat him. You know, the BRT bus got to the place quicker than he could get to the place. And so, and you can read without feeling guilty. You know, when you read in the car, you just feel really guilty. I shouldn't be doing this.
I can't believe you confessed that, but yeah.
But so I'm obviously, you know, I've been involved in this for 6 years, so I'm pretty excited about it, but it's been good.
Rochelle?
Yeah, I'm very guilty because I'm out of town all but yesterday and today. So I'm going to make up for it next week, I hope. But I helped my neighbor figure out how to get over to Breeze Stevens for an event. And of course, we know event parking over there is bad. So they had a really positive experience, not looking for parking, you know, zipped right over, got back, saved a bunch of time, didn't have to deal with all the congestion. Was so, so happy about it. And in case folks haven't read it, I do think there's a pretty interesting tone, Madison, like article. It's sort of like a diary of riders. It's just some interesting perspectives. So yeah. I would flag that for folks. Some, yeah. You know, a wide range of perspectives.
I think that's one reason why, even though I know it's not on the agenda, I kind of felt this was, we're not setting policy or having a policy discussion so much, but I think that's one reason I'm sensitive to this. I've been seeing a lot of the negative press, and I understand that BRT took service away. The implement moving to the BRT network took service away because of the focus on the lack, less coverage, if you will, and more of a, what was the opposite, coverage and versus.
It was ridership, but it was also providing service evenings and weekends.
Right, exactly. And so I'm obviously, we're all aware of the discussion. And I went to that same event probably at Bree Stevens last Thursday, and I will never drive to Bree Stevens again.
Yeah.
That was my takeaway. I boarded at Shorewood. The reason I boarded at Shorewood and parked, I drove there. The reason I did that is because after the concert at 10 at night, I knew that I was going to have a 23-minute transfer on Sheboygan Avenue. And I thought, you know, I'm going to be tired. I don't want to wait for a bus for 23 minutes. So I cheated a little and parked at Sherwood. But that bus dropped me off right on Patterson, literally 150 feet from the entrance to the event. And I had time to go into festival and grab a bite to eat. So I just have been really impressed, very pleased. There's obviously been some glitches, but overall, I think people are accepting it. When I came back this late afternoon from the Far East Side, it was so crowded that someone was trying to get their bike on campus, and it was a challenge to sandwich that into the bus. It was he made it, but the bus was overcrowded, and there was another one coming a few minutes behind us. So there were options, but maybe that was going to be crowded too. Anyway, I just wanted to see how other people were spending the week and remind you that even if you just take one trip, just to think about it, what it's like to take transit or bike or walk with a trip that normally would have been driven. And it's a challenge for many people. And fortunately, some of us live in an area, you know, a lot closer to the BRT, and it's an easier choice. For those that it's not, it's they have a lot of challenges. All right. Well, we're still under an hour, so that's not too bad for all the glitches on my part. Thank you all, and we'll see you in November.
Wait, don't we have to have a motion to adjourn, right?
Oh,
yep. Sure.
Let's stick to Robert's rules, right? Let's
yeah, do it. I'm sorry. I was too much biking and transit today. Would someone like to make a motion to adjourn? Tom, you just made
that. I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Yeah, all right.
I'll second.
All right. Motion is second. All in favor say aye.
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 All right. Motion passes. We are adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.